Hey guys, it's Amanda here, and I am super excited because on today's Fit Chicks Chat, I am interviewing the amazing Samantha Mopetitouin. So Sam is the mother of two beautiful girls. She's a certified pre and postnatal exercise specialist with over 15 years of experience. She is also the co-founder of Bellies Inc., the creators of the Ab Tank Complete System, the most comprehensive holistic system that combines restorative exercises as well as abdominal wrapping to help women build core confidence from pregnancy right through motherhood. Samantha is known extensively in her field and has appeared on Breakfast Television, CTV News, Canada AM, CHCH, and Rogers Daytime. She was also the resident fitness expert on the Marilyn Dennis Show, which is a national award-winning lifestyle show across Canada from 2013 right through to 2017. Samantha also helped to create the Today's Parent Healthy Pregnancy Guide. So thank you so much for joining us, Sam, and welcome.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
All right. So hi, everyone. Welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn. And in today's podcast, I have the pleasure of interviewing Samantha Mopetitouin. I said it right?
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So for anyone who doesn't know, Sam here is an expert when it comes to pre and postnatal fitness. She is one of the co-creators and co-owners of Bellies Inc. And so today we're going to be chatting a lot about pre and postnatal fitness specifically, because I think this is a topic that a lot of people kind of, there's so much misinformation out there. People get really confused about what to do. I know for me, my personal experience was exactly that. It was like, my doctor would be like, no, you're cool to do these things. But then I'd read stuff online and I was like, oh, like, I don't know what to do when I was pregnant with my first. And so I think touching on this subject and coming from your perspective of like, you know, the ins and outs of what is good, what is, should be avoided. So let's just start with that. So Sam, can you tell us like, what would be sort of your top three tips on like for someone who is pre? So anyone who is like pregnant right now, what can they physically do from a fitness standpoint that is like safe? What should they maybe avoid? Like what would be kind of like that sort of side of it? And then we'll talk about the post after.
Okay. So prenatally, so I put this little list together after you sent me these points just to focus on. Mm-hmm. Prenatally, generally, the rule is if you're having a safe, healthy pregnancy, you know, you might have like the odd ache and pain, right? But it's not a high risk and everything is good. You should be able to continue to do what you're normally used to doing. Okay. The last thing you want to do is stop. So if you're already exercising, last one you, thing you want to do is stop. I mean, there's some old information that suggests that if you do that, that's more shock to the body. You want to maintain what you do that keeps you feeling good within reason, right? Mm-hmm. So when I say that, there are some people who do some very high intensity of exercises. They might be a very high level gymnast, or they might be a rock climber or something like that. Mm-hmm. So maybe in the first trimester, that's something you could continue to do. But once all those physiological and physical changes really take over your body, you want to also listen to those cues and you want to scale back to what feels good, right? It's hard, especially for someone like you and I. We are fitness professionals and we're used to feeling that burn to be able to kind of go, oh, am I still supposed to do that when I'm pregnant? You want to feel it somewhat, and you are more hypersensitive when you're pregnant because of all the hormonal shifts, and you're just, you know, you almost like turn into a different human being.
Yes.
but you want to be aware of things. You want to feel, you still want to feel like you're working out, but you don't want to be gasping for air. You want to be able to still have a full conversation. Because when you're doing that, you've got to think about what the baby's doing in utero, right? So I would say generally, you want to continue doing what you're doing, which makes you feel good. But there's also another thing that you also want to do during pregnancy. You also want to do things that you're actually moving for pregnancy and birth. So you want to think about a goal, right? So if you were to run a marathon, you're going to train for that event. So you just exercising and bicep curls and skipping rope is not going to, train you for actually pushing that baby out. So you want to focus on certain that would also help you get that baby into that pelvic outlet, stuff like deep squatting, doing a lot more, I would say, mind-body awareness, thinking about focusing on your pelvic floor, obviously, thinking about training your core properly, things that are actually going to make that pregnancy and that birth a better event, and hopefully you not having to do a lot of, you know, fixing afterwards, let's say, right? You just want to think about the why you're, now that you're pregnant, what is the goal, right? It, obviously, it's to have a very healthy baby with all their fingers and toes, but you've got to also think about yourself, right? Which most women don't. We don't think about ourselves that much. And I also blame that sort of on society as well, like, because when you're pregnant, all the websites are about, what's the baby doing? And, you know, how far along? What's the baby doing inside utero? Now that you're 6 weeks, 7 weeks, like I used to make myself crazy, right? Looking on the Is the baby turning? Are you, is it kicking? Blah, 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 blah. You become obsessed with it. And then when the baby's out, is the baby lifting its head? Is the baby rolling over? But what about mom?
Oh my gosh, the milestones,
right?
So I think,
But what about the mom milestones, right? So we got to think about that during pregnancy as well. And I would also say, at some point during your pregnancy, you do want to see a pelvic floor physiotherapist, which I know we're going to talk about at our other podcasts, but that's just really important because, you know, your pelvic floor is like every other muscle in your body. And obviously that pelvic floor is going to take a huge, it's going to have to do a lot of work, right? So if you could see a pelvic floor physio at some point during your pregnancy, especially in your third trimester, someone who could teach you how to properly push that baby out, and you've done all the training that you need to do, you're going to be in much better shape postpartum. So that's what I would say their top three things are during pregnancy.
And so, and what would you say to someone who maybe is not currently active? So if you know, they were not someone who was active and then they get pregnant and they get kind of like that freaked out syndrome, you know, like that kind of happens when you get pregnant where you're kind of like, I don't want to gain a ton of weight and whatever. And they start getting like a little bit panicked and then they all of a sudden want to dive in. Cause I've seen this a lot where people like literally have done nothing. They're not an active person, but then when they get pregnant, they want to switch gears. What would you say to someone like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing I do say to people, you know, if there's any other time in your life, if there's one time in your life that you do exercise, it should be during pregnancy because you're creating a person, and the healthier the host is, the healthier the outcome. So moms who do that, moms who do that do actually have the right mindset, like, because they are doing themselves and their baby a service. But again, they've got to be careful, right? So just like, here's the thing, pregnancy is not an illness, okay? People have babies, have been babies since the beginning of time. But just like if they aren't pregnant, just like if they weren't pregnant, they want to make sure that they, seek a professional. Mm-hmm. And if that is not financially, that's not something that you can do, then really make sure that you do your due diligence and you do your research and you focus on the proper things during pregnancy. Again, maybe doing something that has a lot of choreography, like a high intensity aerobics class or a step class is probably not a good idea. And I would rather someone during the pregnancy focus on strength training because, again, we know we're gonna gain a lot of weight, okay, during those 9 months. Like if you weren't pregnant and you were gaining between 25 to 45 pounds or whatever that is within 9 months, somebody would think something's wrong with you, right? So that's a huge shift. And that's a lot of physical demand on your body to be able to have to carry that extra weight load. So the stronger you are, the stronger you are able to adapt and carry that weight. And then of course I would, at the bare minimum, walking absolutely is probably the best thing you could do. I would also suggest swimming. Because swimming is basically no impact. Now, again, don't sign up for some crazy aerobic water aerobics class because those water aerobic classes get really hard.
I
probably drown. I can't do it. But just swimming. Swimming is a great exercise, strength train-wise, cardiovascular-wise, and little to no impact on your joints. So that would be a really good, safe alternative for somebody. And it just makes you feel good, especially for those people who are newly pregnant and they've never exercised before. The effect of pregnancy can really make them feel sluggish and horrible. Mm-hmm. And we know as fitness professionals that the more that we exercise, the more energy we're going to get. So why not make that pregnancy as strong and energetic as we possibly can? So any kind of movement, but making it sustainable, making it consistent, making it, I would say, most days of the week. I mean, the guidelines are saying 30 minutes most days of the week. I would just say every day. Do something consistent, whether walking or swimming or something, just something to make you feel good. And that would be my suggestion. But that would be my suggestion even if you weren't pregnant, right?
Right. And what do you say to someone like me who had like the fear? So my fear, when I talk about the fear, it's like when I was pregnant with my first, it was like I had been running 10K four times a week, doing hot yoga all the time, and then also doing high intensity interval training, right? So a lot. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I was like, I can't run anymore. I don't want to jump anymore. It was like that fear, even though I know logically that there was no like risk to my child, it was like getting over that psychological fear. What would you say to someone like me that literally has that fear of like, I'm going to hurt my baby if I like run, or like I'm going to cause damage, or, you know, I might have a miscarriage or something like that if I'm like jumping so much and stuff. Like I know logically it doesn't make sense, but psychologically I couldn't get it out of my head.
So then I would basically just do what feels right to you. If it doesn't feel good in your gut, don't do it. For whatever reason, that's what it's there for. Now, yes, the research does not support the correlation of exercise with having a miscarriage.
Right.
But God forbid something were to happen. You know, we're very emotional human beings. We're women, and now you're a soon-to-be mother. How would you forgive yourself, right?
Right.
I'm like, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. And that's the funny thing of pregnancy in general, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, you might have the fear of running, and then you get over it one day, and then you just start to run. And then after a couple months, you're like, nope, I don't want to do that anymore. Something just doesn't feel right. And then you just stop. And that's okay. If you could find an alternative that still gives you that feeling, right? Mm-hmm. So generally, I'm not a fan of running in pregnancy once you hit, I would say, middle of second trimester anyways, just because of the impact on the pelvic floor, which again, mm-hmm. we'll talk about in another podcast. But at the same time, it's all about informed choice, right? So as long as you do your due diligence, see a pelvic floor physio, do your research, if it's something that makes you feel good, then who am I to say not to do it? And at the same time, if it's something that's going to freak you out and you're going to lose sleep over it, don't do it. I mean, being pregnant is stressful enough. The last thing we need to is like add more guilt year and all that stuff. We're going to have enough of that as parents, right?
Oh my gosh,
we don't need to start. And then for those people who are runners, because runners are a tough group, right? We know this. Like if you tell a runner you can't run, you might as well cut her arm off and, you know, throw her outside, right? Because she's like, what do you mean I can't run? What do you mean? Okay, can we find something else? So usually if I can convince them, find a nice incline, a really good hill.
Yeah.
It's safe for your pelvic floor. You're really going to get your heart rate up. You're going to load your quads and your glutes. You're going to get a killer workout, which is something that you're looking for anyways, right? So, but I would say at the end of the day, you need to listen to your gut and intuition, especially when pregnant, because you're only pregnant for a short period, even though it feels like forever. You're only, you know, pregnant for a short period. After you have your baby, you can, you know, go back to what you love.
Definitely. And so then on that, so from a postnatal standpoint, so that's kind of like the idea of what you can do like pre and during your pregnancy. But then from a postnatal standpoint, I know that it's a little bit different. So what would you say would be sort of, again, your sort of top three tips for someone who, you know, post baby, they had a regular delivery, like regular meaning like vaginal delivery, like and no complications, that kind of thing. Like what would be sort of your recommendations for that?
Okay, so you've got the straightforward, perfect water birth at home with with butterflies. But it's still a major event, okay? Let's still,
totally.
We can't, you know, and I mean, that pelvic floor, that stretch to, large size, right? We still have to honor our body. And I think in this world right now, in this society, and you know, I blame a lot of it on social media with mm-hmm. this super mom, we can do it all. I don't need help. I can, you know, showing their six pack 2 days after they've given birth, whatever it is. right?
I know. I'm like, really?
We still
no.
which I'd have to say, having, let's just put this on the record, having a six pack is not a measure of fitness. Can I just say that?
Gosh, please. Please say that.
It's not.
I know.
It's aesthetic. It is not anyways. But I think we still have to, what we've really come away from is that we're still not honoring our bodies after birth, right? Mm-hmm. We're pregnant for 9 months. We're doing all this stuff to have the healthiest pregnancy possible and have this awesome, wonderful birthing experience, whatever that means, whether it's vaginal, C-section, it doesn't matter. We still have to recover. We still have to take into account all of those massive changes that have happened to our bodies that do not snap back. Like, remember the first time you tried to hold your pee after, you know, having a vaginal birth? That was very funny, right? Like, there was nothing happening. There was no connection there.
Well, I actually had a C-section, so mine's a little bit different, okay. but it's still, okay. it's, but I still have the same issues. Yeah.
Yes, because we still have the same impact on our pelvic floor. We were still pregnant mm-hmm. for 9 months, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that this pressure to feel like, oh my God, I've got to get back really fast. And we couldn't wait to show our bellies when we were pregnant, be so proud, but we have to, for some reason, we have to immediately lose all signs of our pregnancy, just like that. I want to get my pre-baby back tomorrow. Well, guess what? All of your friends knew you were pregnant. So, right? You're still going to have a belly. You're still weight to lose. So I think the first thing would be is to honoring our body and really scaling back and taking it slow. I mean, there's a lot of traditions, especially in Asian culture. My husband is Chinese, and they believe that you should be at home in your room alone with your baby for 30 days. Do not go outside and just drink warm fluids. Now, that sounds funny now. There's no way in hell I would have done that. I would have stuck hot needles in my eye. However, they do this in Asia. My girlfriend right now is in Hong Kong, and she FaceTimed me and she told me how they have these centers where women go to, they bring their babies and they're completely taken care of for a month. They're given massages, their baby's brought to them to nurse. They take the baby away for a little bit so the moms can rest. Like awesome. It's all about and sign me up, right?
Yeah.
But the whole idea is that we have the rest of our lives to get back into whatever we do, but to really honor our bodies and what it has done. And our bodies need time to heal and recover. They absolutely do. You know, this whole idea of getting a green light for exercise at 6 weeks, as far as I'm concerned, I feel that's irresponsible. And we are not ready to go back to fitness or whatever it is, the 6 weeks. We're not even close. We might have stopped bleeding. We might not be in agonizing pain from our C-section scar, but we should not be signing up for a boot camp. So we really just do need to honor ourselves and recover and ask for help and let people bring us food and let our moms take the baby so we can take a nap for an hour. We don't have to do everything. So that would be the first thing. I also say, I guess, you know, the next is when we do start to go exercise, not too hard, too fast. And that's what we're doing. We're seeing, you know, again, we're getting the green light at 6 weeks and signing up for boot camp or signing up for our first 5 days, right? And we forget that we've done the most amazing thing. We've birthed a human being. Okay. And at least we can say at this date, what is it? July
30? 31st.
July 31st.
Yeah.
31st. No man has given birth to a baby yet. Okay. So we're pretty awesome, but we forget how awesome we are. We give birth to these babies and we feel so weak and so vulnerable that we just push ourselves, you know, and we don't take the time to restore and recover and do gentle exercises to help build that foundation again. Because I don't care how fit you are. I don't care if you exercised up until the day before your cesarean or your vaginal birth, which is what I did. I still needed to recover. Now, I might have the benefit of recovering a little bit faster because of the stuff I did during my pregnancy, but I still got to do the recovery phase, okay? And I think that's a big missing link. Like, so you're a runner. Have you ever had an AC tear? Or where you were.
Okay. I would never categorize myself as a runner because I only took it up about 3 years ago. And like, I did it more for like my heart. I don't know. Like, I never thought of myself as a runner because I always feel like runners are like, they like love it. And I didn't really like love it. I just did it Do you know what I mean? Like, I never thought of myself as a runner. Does that make sense? I don't know.
That's how I don't even understand that, because I have to love running to run, and I so do not like running. Like,
I learned to like it, I guess. I never loved it. I learned to like it because I liked the challenge of like beating my time, and like, I liked that sort of like personal competition, but I never really like, I was never like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go for a run. Like every day that was like a running day, I was like, ah, like I'm more like yoga. Like I'm more like, I know, I know, but that's just cause I was awesome. Capable of doing it, you know? And that's, wow. Yeah.
I could never run more than 5K or I would die.
Oh.
Yeah. But so for runners, for any runners out there who might be listening to this, you get an ACL tear.
Yeah.
There's a mandatory rehab protocol of 6 to 9 months.
Right.
Right? Mandatory before going back to running.
Yeah.
You have a baby and there's no protocol.
That's
right?
Crazy.
It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, having a baby, a lot more injury, okay, because we're compressing nerves and there's all kinds of stuff going on down there. We know mm-hmm. that. I don't have to go into the gory details.
Yeah.
But again, we're giving the green light to go back to sport at 6 weeks, which, so we still need to do the rehab part. And then I would also say, I'm talking about dues postpartum,
yes.
Right? Again, at your 6 week, when you're seeing your OB for your checkup at 6 weeks, which I'm hearing more and more and more, they're not giving internal examinations. Now, I guess depending on where this podcast is being listened to, whether it's Canada, US, I'm not sure. But I know here in Canada, I'm hearing more and more that they're not having internal assessments at their 6 weeks, which again, I think is ridiculous. I mean, you had a baby in there. They should have to be able to check, you know, make sure everything, then all your bits are in place, but they're not. This is definitely the time, again, to go see a pelvic floor physiotherapist. You right. want to make sure that things are working down there. You want to make sure that when you do go back to sport, that nothing freaky is going on, right?
Yeah.
Again, think of all the stuff, whether vaginal or C-section, you still had a baby sitting on your vagina for 9 months. That's a lot, right? So seeing a pelvic floor physio and making sure the physio is the one who gives you the green light to go back to exercise. Because if the OB is not checking everything out to make sure it's functioning properly, how are you going to know? And then you're going to go back to exercise and then, oh, something happened. Oh, now I can't exercise, right? So you want to just do your due diligence because, again, if you love to exercise, the last thing you want to do is be forced to stop. I would rather be the deciding factor of whether or not I work out, not because something happens, which I could have totally avoided if I went and saw somebody. Right?
Totally. No, I agree with you. I mean, even with my post, it was, like I said, I had an emergency C-section and I had the 6 weeks where I wasn't really supposed to even like lift anything besides the baby, like not even groceries or anything. However, I went against my doctor's orders because physically it wasn't about like having to look a different way or, you know, trying to like get my body back. For me, it was more about the idea that not moving, like movement for me is like my therapy, right? Like it makes me feel good. It makes me feel better. And I felt like after about 2 weeks, being home, I was like, I can't just sit anymore. Like I can't just sit here on this couch, but I didn't, as what you were saying, I really honored my body. I paid a lot of attention to what was going on. I paid attention to the feelings and I didn't get into my regular routines. I didn't go back to running. I didn't go back to, you know, HIIT training or anything like that. I was literally just doing like bicep curls with 3 pounds and like walking, just walking and like not far, but like little walks and stuff just to move because I felt like I had to move my body. But it was like, I don't know. It's so interesting to me to think like of what you're supposed to do. And then, you know what I mean? Like I didn't do it for the reasons of like vanity, I guess, you know, or like anything to do with that. I did it for movement specifically. But I mean, it's different. Do you think that there's a difference though, for someone who has had a C-section versus like from a post standpoint, like for physically, for movement and for activity, do you think that there's anything different there?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And this is what I wish a lot of people would listen to when they're pregnant. These people who are opting for C-sections because they think it's going to be easier on them. Are you kidding me? A cesarean is major abdominal surgery. like major, right? Like it's not, they're cutting through all kinds of layers of muscle, tissue, fascia, nerves, right?
Oh yeah, and totally.
If you want to talk about having a difficult time getting your core back, you're going to have that much harder time if everything is cut, right? Mm-hmm. We need to get things connected. So, I mean, I know there's a fear of pushing a baby out of your vagina, right? But that's kind of the way nature made us. And so I think during pregnancy, being more informed, doing your research, being empowered, there's a lot of people out there, I won't necessarily name names, who place that fear on mothers that, oh, you couldn't possibly birth that baby vaginally, that baby's too big for you, or your hips aren't big enough, or this could happen, or blah, 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 blah. And it plants that seed, so it automatically takes the woman's power away, right? Where it's, our bodies were made for this. Now, again, yes, there is a time for and place for cesarean, like in your situation, it was an emergency, and obviously we want to avoid emergency as much as possible. But for these people who are off, it's going to make it easier for them. Like, remember the first time that you even laughed? Oh my God, I remember.
No.
I was like, don't make me laugh. Don't make me laugh. I can't even breathe. Oh my God. And I would hold my scar because I thought I was going to die. Right?
Oh yeah.
Or just walking around the block. Right? You don't realize how much you use your abs until you try to do anything. Like,
oh, totally. Even just standing was hard, like, because I had nerve damage from where they, I guess, pulled. So I had nerve damage. So it felt like right around my hip bone area, all of my skin consistently 24/7 just felt like it was on fire. Like it was like hot, like, but it didn't feel hot to touch. It just felt hot. Like it felt like it was like burning. I thought that I had like, I don't know, like I literally would just sit there and like rub it with a cloth because I thought that there was like maybe some like leftover adhesive or something. I was like, there's something on my skin because it feels like it's tearing and like burning. But it was just nerve damage. It's okay now.
So did you do scar massage?
Pardon me?
Did you do scar massage for your C-section scar? Did you do scar massage?
No, I didn't. I didn't even know about it. That's the thing. I didn't really know. And that's why I think that's why I'm so happy we're talking, because I think that this kind of stuff is like, I'm like, what's a scar massage? I don't even know. Like I could guess what I think it is, but I've never heard of it and I don't know what to do. And I think all of these tips on like the fitness side, but then also just like in general, how to care for yourself pre and post is so important. And the information out there is so mixed up. Like I said, like there's just information out there that's like, tells you one thing and then another website or whatever that will tell you something completely different.
And I just think a lot of the information out there, is just very outdated, right? So scar massage, I think people hear a lot more about scar massage if they worked with a midwife, right? Or with a doula, somebody who thinks a little bit more outside the box as opposed to like making it such a medical, you know, because pregnancy and birth shouldn't be medical. It's not really, I mean, people have been doing it for bajillions of years in villages and all that other stuff, right? There wasn't nearly as much intervention. But there was actually a post that was just shared on Facebook talking about that a lot of people think that the increase is because of the place of birth, right? As opposed to because it's done in hospitals, it's so medicalized that this is why this is increased, right? Because again, the control is taken away from the mother, or the power is taken away from the mother. And if you're a first time mom, of course you're going to listen to your doctor. Like, oh my God, you're having a baby. Totally. And you're at such a fear-based place that you're just like, whatever you have to do to get that baby out, right? But then who suffers the consequences a lot of the times is the mom, right? So no, we have to recover. But so scar massage, if you just think of any scar, right? And your cesarean scar, it's numb, right? Because that tissue is dead and it's like this, right? So there's no mobility in that tissue. So if that tissue is dead, blood can't flow through it, and then that muscle can't contract. Right? So that's why it's harder for people like you and I to get our abs working or firing or whatever that is because of this scar tissue. So we could just mobilize it. And all you need to do is get castor oil that you can get at Shoppers Drug Mart, a hot water bottle, and an old t-shirt that you don't care about that you're never going to use again. And so what you would do is you put the castor oil right on the scar, you put your t-shirt on, and then you put the hot water bottle, and for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and I would do it at night just watching TV, just so it warms it up. And after that, I would just, so say this was the scar, I would just do circular motions this way, circular motions this way, up and down, side to side. And I didn't feel anything for probably a month or two. And then all of a sudden there was an aha moment. It was like, oh, what's that? I feel something, right? And I start getting that tingling sensation. And then eventually that scar started to move away from the tissue below. And now that whole thing can move as opposed to being stuck and adhered, right? You know,
that's amazing. I had no idea.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and you'd be way ahead of me because your baby's young, right? But I don't only found out about this when my youngest was like six or something. Like nobody told me. It's only because of the work that I'm in now that people are telling me. It's like, I can still work on my scar 6 years later. Yeah, it's going to take you a hell of a lot longer than if you had done it right away, like after the staples were removed and it's somewhat healed, right?
Yeah.
But it's just, and it's, anybody can do it. But again, yeah, these are these little things that nobody's telling us. But would definitely impact our recovery and make it that much better, right? So we wouldn't have to feel so disconnected. You remember when you have a C-section, you feel like your top is cut from your bottom. Like there's no, like there's nothing.
It's completely just like a dead zone. Like it's so bizarre. It's so super weird. It's so surreal.
Yeah. So then people who've had vaginal births, I would definitely say, unless they had major perineal trauma, so whether with interventions, with forceps and vacuums and, or, you know, really like huge tears and stuff like that, if they just had a basic, easy, simple, whatever, there's no such thing as
simple, birth,
you know what I mean? Their recovery would be better than someone who's had a cesarean birth, but no one talks about that. And I think a lot of those people who, you know, they choose those cesareans because they think they're going to save their pelvic floor. But guess what? Like I said earlier, right? Your baby's still sitting on your vagina for 9 months. So there's a lot of women who've had cesareans who still have the same problems with their pelvic floor than those who had vaginal births. So.
Oh no, totally. I can totally see the difference. Like I assumed that I wouldn't, but I assumed wrong. Let's just say that I assume wrong. So now I'm all about like strengthening it, which we're going to definitely talk about the next time we chat for sure. Okay. So then in terms of like pre and postnatal fitness, what kind of trends are you seeing out there right now? Cause I know that there's like lots of trendy things that kind of happen. Is there anything out there that you're seeing right now that you think people should really like pay attention to? Or do you think if there's anything out there that people should really avoid, that's kind of like, you know,
One trend I'm seeing a lot of, and I think it's just the trend in general, is CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of women CrossFit during pregnancy.
Yes.
And, one of my business partners just recently went to a course who talks about it, not necessarily being bad, because we don't want to say anything is bad, right? Like if you're doing it properly, using the proper strategy and you're recruiting the proper muscles and you're not having any issues, leaking is not normal. Okay. I'm actually getting a t-shirt that's going to say that because it's not normal. And the problem is it's been very much normalized.
Sorry to interrupt, but can you touch on the conversation we had the last time you and I spoke, which was about that article that you read about the girl that was lifting and peeing her pants. Because I think, and I know that that's a little bit more about pelvic floor and stuff too, but I think that that's just, it's such an important thing to speak about.
It is. I kind of lost my mind a little bit because she wrote a blog and I didn't lose my mind on her. What about her? She's a CrossFitter and apparently she's very popular, but I don't know because I don't live in the CrossFit world, so I have no idea who she was, but
of course
she's postpartum. She has a son. I think she said he was 3 or 4 or 2 or something. I got the impression from the blog he was young, and the title of the blog was "Just Because My Bladder's Leaked Weak Doesn't Mean I Am." And that she said that after she had her baby, she wanted to go back and feel normal, which again, we talked about this, right? We want to get our body back. We want to feel normal. And I get that. I understand that desperation because you feel like you've given your body up for 9 months and now the baby's no longer there. Let me get back to me. So she went back to lift heavy and she couldn't lift her heaviest without leaking urine. So her intuition told her to stop. which I think is smart. But again, she was also struggling with that because she was feeling like, man, this is really bumming me out. I'm peeing, but I don't know what else to do. So I'm just not going to lift that heavy. And that one day her coach came up to her and said, well, what's wrong with you? You know, you could totally lift that. And she's like, well, you know, but I pee. And the coach said, ah, don't worry about it. Why do you think we have disinfectant all over the gym? We'll wipe it up.
Oh my God.
That's what I freaked out about.
It's that
this woman was somewhat crying for help. She was saying, I want to lift heavy, but I can't because I'm peeing. And she knew her intuition was telling her, I shouldn't be peeing on the floor. That's what toilets are for. But her coach said, no, it's fine. Suck it up. And that's why. So number one, I never want to go to that gym if it smells like pee. Thank you very much. But number two, shame on the coach for not saying, you know, there's help out there. So I went on a bit of a rant on my Facebook Live about it. But then I also had to say, you know, at the same time, the coach doesn't know what the coach doesn't know, right? However, anybody ever comes to me with a problem and my instinct tells me, that's probably not good, but I don't know how to help them. My job as their coach is to say, you know what, but I'm going to find you some help because this doesn't seem right. And I think you should follow your gut. But if that coach is being told by the whoever runs the gym, don't worry, we all pee, right? Which I think is the energy or the vocabulary that they use in that gym, that everybody pees, so just suck it up. But it's to the point where that woman says that now that she lifts her heaviest and she feels great, but she says that she soaks her pads and her socks, and that she almost floods her shoes, that she pretty much empties her bladder every time she lifts. And you know what? That's not normal. If you are leaking and you're not sitting on the toilet, that is your body's way of screaming that something is not working properly. Now, it's not saying that she can't lift that heavy, that maybe she needs to use a different strategy, but whatever she was doing at that time wasn't working, and she had to, number one, get a coach who is educated in that, absolutely see a pelvic floor physiotherapist, and find out if she wants to lift that weight, what does she have to do differently to do that? Because what she's doing right now is not helping her, because incontinence is just the first sign of something else worse is going to happen. She has another kid, right? Or she hits menopause. It's not a good slope that she's on. She's on this slope, right? And at the end, you know, at the end of her walk, she says, well, at least I'm not pooing my pants. Like, is that what it's going to take? Does she have to poo her pants? It's not good.
No.
Right? We want our stuff in. We don't want stuff to come out.
Well, so, and so on that note though, like if you had a chance to have a conversation with her, so for anyone listening who maybe is kind of going through the same thing, maybe, you know, they're trying to figure out like, well, what can I do differently? Would that be where you would say like, see a pelvic floor therapist? Like, is that sort of where you would like 100% stamp it with that? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every single woman who's ever been pregnant or had a baby, or even if not a woman, a person, we all have pelvic floors. And like I said, they're muscles like every other muscle in our body, and they support our organs. They also support our pelvis and our spine. And, you know, these people are like, who say, oh, but I do my Kegels. Well, guess what? You might not be doing them properly, or you might be one of the people who shouldn't be doing Kegels like me. So why would you think Kegels are not a good thing? This is like a kind of a test question for you.
I don't even know. I don't know the answer. I was just going to ask you, I'm like, well, why shouldn't some people do it? I'm like intrigued. I need to know the answer. I don't know the answer.
So if I was walking around like this, would you give me a bicep curl?
No, of course not. Oh, no. I understand. See, I already understand.
No. Mm-hmm. So our pelvic floor muscles, they can be hypertonic or they can be hypotonic. We want them to be middle ground, right? We want them to be contract and relax. But if they're hypertonic and they're too tight and you do a Kegel, there's no for it to go. So you know what happens when you cough or sneeze? That muscle spasms and now you leak. So when people think of leaking, oh, I'm leaking because my pelvic floor is weak. Might not be. It might be too tight. It might be all the way up there, right?
Right.
Which is a lot more common. And I can tell you, because I am hypertonic, which I know is shocking, but you can just tell my whole being is hypertonic. I'm a very high energy kind of person like that. So, and we hold tension in our pelvic floor. So if you're more stressed, there's a more likelihood that you have a tight pelvic floor.
Right.
And if you are someone who, you know, had a problem with incontinence after birth, what a lot of women do is they go from having a very weak pelvic floor to a very tight pelvic floor very quickly, because all they do is Kegel and they never relax their muscles.
Right.
So they go from here to here so fast because they're so worried about leaking that they've created another dysfunction, right? So seeing a pelvic floor physio, and this is somebody who is an internal therapist, goes in, checks the muscles and all that stuff, would be the only one to tell you how those muscles are firing and what you should be doing to treat the condition or whatever it is that you might be having. And even if you don't have anything, it's just good to make sure that everything is copacetic and working.
Yeah, no, totally. It totally makes sense now. And I love the image of, like, you know, if you have a bicep, if you were constantly walking around flexing your bicep, then why would you say do another bicep curl? So it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So unfortunately we have to wrap it up, because I wish, like, honestly, I feel like you and I could probably talk every day and we would always have something different to talk about when it comes to this topic, because there's so much information that needs to be out there. So thank you. But to wrap it up, I think I would love for you just to tell us, like, the one thing that, like, if people that are, like, either pre or postnatal, the one piece of advice that you could give that is like, please just listen to this one thing, what would that be?
Well, it's what I just said. See a pelvic floor physiotherapist.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, all you have to do is talk to a woman who, and again, we'll talk about this again in our next podcast, who's had a pelvic organ prolapse.
Yeah.
Or something really that was life altering for her and forced her to stop what she was doing. It's not worth it. And you know what? If we lived in France, you would get 10 visits with a pelvic floor physio as part of your postpartum healthcare.
Really? Wow.
That painful.
Wow, that's solid. That's really nice.
Yeah. And don't think that your GP, that they're checking, especially because I've had women say to me, well, I've had a pap. Wouldn't they see it? No, because the speculum puts everything into place. You want somebody who is trained to do this properly and knows what they're doing. And I tell every single person I've ever worked with, I want you to see a pelvic floor physio. There's only so much I can do with you, but my fingers are not in your vagina, so I have no idea, right?
Yeah.
And if you have physio coverage, it is covered under regular physio, because these are physiotherapists that have extra training, very thorough training in pelvic health, and mm-hmm. It doesn't say vagina physio on the receipt, so nobody's going to know. Just go get done. So you can say you've done your due diligence, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I think out of everything that you're saying, I think definitely that. And I also think the other thing that I would really want people to do from my perspective is just to honor their body. Like, and you touched on that quite a bit too.
Yes.
Today. And I think, you know, even from my own experience, it's like when I started working out again, I didn't jump back into running 10Ks. I literally was like walking and just doing light weights. And my doctor did get mad at me because I was doing it a little too early, she said, but I really honored my body. I paid attention, and I know my body really well. So, but you do have to listen. What's that?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, how much was your baby at birth? How much?
7 pounds, 6 ounces.
Okay. So that's funny. So you can pick up your 7 pounds, 6 ounce baby, but you can't lift 2-3 pound weights.
Well, I can, but I was told not to. Yeah.
Doctor was telling you not to. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I know. I was told not to do any lifting. I can only lift my baby. And I didn't go crazy. I didn't do anything intense.
Yeah.
After the 6 months, and I think this is for anyone listening, like even after the 6 months when I was like cleared to like just do everything normal, I still, to this day, I just started running again about a month ago. And so that's like over 7 months after my baby's been born. And I don't do long running anymore. Now I just do short intervals and I do it on a treadmill. So it's really controlled and like I can just kind of maintain it a little bit better, I find. Like I can maintain my speed and everything else. And even with HIIT training, I'm doing it, but I'm not doing it as long or as intense. So it's like I've eased my way back into it. And I think it's not like I'm not back to like my total pre-pregnancy look and feel of like my body, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. And I think that that's one really powerful thing that people need to pay attention to, is that it's like, if it takes you a year, if it takes you 2 years, if it doesn't even happen, like, because my body's also changed, I've gained weight in different areas. And so it's like, I know that my hips have gotten bigger and I don't think they'll ever go down. Like, I don't think that they'll, I think they've just changed and I've just been okay with that, you know? And I think it's really important that people accept sort of where they're at, go through the process to feel better about yourself and get healthy, but don't stress about it, you know? And like, just let it kind of organically happen the way that it's supposed to happen. And I don't know, like for me, that's really worked well. And it takes a lot of that extra pressure off, because I'm like, okay, I do my workout to feel good in the day, to start my day off right. But it's not about looking a certain way. I eat healthy so I can feed my baby and she's getting healthy nutrients and vitamins. Like, it's not, you know, and I'm also getting fed well. So it's like, it's changing the perspective, changing it from I have to look a certain way to I have to be healthy, I guess.
Yes, yes. And one thing I say to everybody is, once you've had a baby, you're always postpartum. Sorry. Forget trying to get your baby body back. You're not going to get your pre-baby body back. But that doesn't mean you can be stronger and more functional after you've had your baby.
Exactly.
So it's a different, this is your new body and it's awesome and it's amazing. You created life, right? So now just use that to the best that you can. Forget before. Because that was before you had a kid. You can't compare. You can't compare the same. It's not the same thing. No.
Exactly. It would be just like trying to like fit into your clothes from when you were like 15. Right? Like it's the same sort of idea. It's like your body has completely shifted. It's changed. Move on and accept where you're at now and build it stronger today. So awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sam. Thank you so, so much for all of your insight. I really appreciate it. I love chatting with you. And can you tell everyone that's listening how they can get in touch with you if they are interested in reaching out to you, following you, all that kind of stuff?
Well, like you said, my company is Belly's Inc. I'm co-founder. And so they can reach me through Belly's Inc. My email is sam@bellysinc.com. We have a ton of information. And we also have, am I allowed to say that we have continuing education and we have certifications through Belly's Inc. for other
professionals.
So yes, so we have an online course right now that we're offering a special discount. So if you go on our website, you'll find that. And so it gives you the basics and the fundamentals about core and pelvic health. And then we have a 2-day in-person certification where we teach you all the practical components so you can train your clients effectively and feel confident doing so, right? Because when you learn the information, then you're kind of like, oh, now what I do with them, right? I don't want to break them, right? So there's two parts.
Awesome. And then what are all of your social media, just so that they can find you?
Okay, so my social, there's Belly's Inc. Instagram, but then I'm also Sam Core Trainer on Instagram. So I've got my own Instagram as well. But we're also Belly's Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Mm-hmm. So we're everything as Belly's Inc. Yeah,
awesome.
That's where you can find us.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much once again. I look forward to our next chat where we're going to be talking all about pelvic floor and, say it for me.
Diastasis recti.
Diastasis. I'm never going to say it right. I'm never ever in my life going to say it correct. Okay. All right, fantastic. Well, I really look forward to it. Thank you again for your time and I will chat with you soon. Bye.
Okay, awesome. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.